Holy shit.
Alright, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, February the 23rd? That's today. No, today's 20. Yeah, today's 23rd. February 23rd, 2017. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and trying to figure out just how cheaply I can build servers off of eBay. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Maker's Mark on the rocks.
Good man. We also have RU46. Hello. I would ask RU, but I'm afraid.
It's a little bit of water today. Well, I was curious, when you say you're building a server rack, I was just curious, is there any place you can go that is like a junkyard for ex-computers? Like old computers?
Yes.
You know how places for auto wreckers and stuff like that? Are there places that is just fucking hardware all as far as the eye can see, and you just go through and take out what you want?
eBay? No.
Goodwill?
There are warehouses that do that kind of stuff, but generally, because computers depreciate so rapidly, there's not a lot of them. Like, okay. The server parts I've been buying are from servers that are 5 years old, which have enough horsepower that, for me at home, they're still going to be useful, but if I was trying to run large-scale website or cloud services or an email system, it'd probably be underpowered. But it's also from around the time that people started going heavy virtualization, which means CPU horsepower is good in getting multiple CPUs in there, but they just started putting RAM slots like nobody's business in these things, because that's what everybody really wanted, was because you had a couple of small loads that didn't really need a lot of processing power because they're just moving data around.
Was that around the time you started to see RAM being sold in like 16 gig sticks?
Yes. Well, not for servers. I've got a bunch of 4 gig sticks I'm going to be putting in it when they show up. But I'm only going to get it up to about 36 gig of RAM, which for a server is small. But since it's mainly going to be a file server and experiment server, it doesn't need a lot. It's not like I'm going to be running 15, 20 VMs at once, but that's actually what these kind of machines were designed to do. So it'll work out for what I'm doing with it, but I wouldn't try to run a company off this hardware. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's all I was curious of.
I got this one from a guy who's about an hour south of here who, it's an R710. Everybody's interested. Dell made a million of them, so no big deal there. But and parts are cheap on eBay, dude, for these things. I love it. But I paid $100 for server, mainboard, processor, 12 gig of RAM, and it's got a DRAC, RAID controller. I mean, it's fairly complete. Not complete because there's no hard drives, but pretty close to complete. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is around the time when SAS SATA was starting to be a thing. So I can just take my regular off-the-shelf drives and plug them in. Won't be as fast as it could be, but who cares? It'll work.
Awesome.
So, anyways, anybody paying attention, we did rework the main website a little bit, changed up the background on it, ditched the old blog news system because I realized I hadn't posted anything on it in like a year. And since the show auto-updates whenever I upload, that's not really been necessary to mess with, so... At some point, I'm going to completely rework the site and probably redo the back end of it as well, so it's more, I'm thinking about making it into using a static site generator so that when you go to the site, it's all flat files, as opposed to like a WordPress or a Drupal or something like that, Faster, easier to maintain, not a lot of people are updating it anymore like we once had, so I don't see any point in keeping this big back end system for a site that I'm pretty much the only one who ever does anything on anymore. So, Big still gets in there every once in a while too. So
there's new music going up all the time.
Oh yeah, no, he does a good job with that. But yeah. So I need to talk with him a bit before I really go rip and replace. But I would like to simplify the site, make it a little easier to manage. It's one of the reasons I put the chat room right on the front page, because I've got this concept of a, it's less of a site and more of just like an interface. Like, you know, you open the page, there's the chat room, there's the latest Pure Decking, there's the stream. If we start doing other shows again, start putting those up there as well, just like we're doing with Decking, and, you know, kind of just make it like, okay, here's the page, here's your stuff, go, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe put the player back on the page as opposed to having it being a pop-out. The whole reason to make it a pop-out window is so that you could navigate around the site without, or even to other pages without losing the player. But if we're going to make it like an interface with the chat room and shit, then it's probably better just to, you know, leave it on the main page. So maybe see if I can redo it in HTML5 instead of Flash so that it'll work better on phones and stuff like that. I got some ideas. It's just a question of time and motivation. So, but anyways, definitely open to suggestions of that. If anybody wants to give us feedback on the subreddit, it's probably the best way to do it. One of these days I'll get around to fixing the feedback form. Or the IRC. You can get in the IRC and talk to us during the show. I don't hop in there very often when it's not show nights, but every once in a while. So, or just leave a message with Psychros. He seems to live in there, so whenever I show up, he'll pass it on to me, I'm sure. I'm sure he appreciates getting volunteered for that.
Yeah, I just like dropping by, you know, once every couple of months, leaving a tirade about Sod and then going. Because I know he reads everything. He can't help himself. He loves chat logs. So he's just reading down his big spiel about how he's gay and all that. It's great.
Oh, I suppose we could always swap out the IRC for like a Discord or a Slack room, but I kind of like the old school IRC stuff. One of these days I'll get around to writing a bot to manage the chat room, keep logs, make jokes, I don't know, do Giphy searches or something.
We need to put a chat bot in there.
Yeah. Just, you know, what it just every once in a while starts insulting people kind of shit.
Yeah.
Starts taking hostages. The chatbot is taking hostages. So, anyways. Oh, I forgot to say what I'm drinking. I'm trying something tonight. I don't normally condone mixing of whiskey, but this was an idea, so I thought I'd try it. It's called Angry Balls. Heard about it from some guys at work. You take an Angry Orchard like BSV always drinks.
Yep.
Put about a shot and a half of Fireball in it.
Interesting. I'm not sure bad. Fireball is actually whiskey.
Well, it's supposed to be a cinnamon whiskey, but it, you know, it's not bad. I don't know that I would order it at a bar, but it's not bad. So
that's a cinnamon whiskey.
Yeah,
you're right.
I mean, it's kind of, you kind of get an apple cinnamon taste, but, you know, a strong one or strong booze still in it. So I don't know, not bad. Thought I'd try it.
It's flavor of Canada.
Pretty sure you get your ass kicked ordering it at a bar around here, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, it's, well, it originated in Canada in the 1980s.
At least you're not, you know, ordering something with, like, you know, fruit and little umbrella in it, so.
Whoops, it kind of depends how big your boyfriend is when you're ordering that drink.
I know, well, when I'm with Madman, I'm safe. On that.
I'll defer to your experience on that one, Madman, because a little lacking there. Anyways, lead story, are you sent to us here, is fantastic. This is from abc.net.au. Two teenage brothers in Canberra remain behind bars over alleged social media blackmail scam using Grindr and Facebook. It is alleged the scam was committed by a group of youths, one of whom told an alleged victim the group were pedo hunters, according to the police. Four members of the group were arrested last week after a police investigation prompted by concerns initially raised by the AIDS Action Council. So who the hell were these kids targeting? Constable Stephen Luxmore told the court police were investigating seven incidents, but many of the alleged victims had refused to make a statement. He said one of the alleged victims was thought to have taken his own life after being targeted by the group. Constable Luxmore said the scheme allegedly involved approaches made on social media platforms like Facebook and Grindr, and also email. He alleged the group then either went into the target's home or lured them to a public place. Constable Lesmore told the court police believe once contact was made, the group would threaten to expose the online conversations in public unless money or property was handed over. He said in one encounter, one of the youths allegedly spat on one of the people contacted, and several occasions threats referring to pedophilia were allegedly used. Lesmore said one of the accused group told an alleged victim, "You've come here to fuck my little brother, and he's only 15. He also said one of the alleged victims was told, "We are the pedo hunters." One member of the group, who is 16, did not apply for bail on Thursday. His 18-year-old brother was formally refused bail over concerns he may interfere with witnesses. Interfere with, you know, beat the shit out of.
Yes.
Two other youths were released on bail, strict conditions amounting to virtual house arrest. They have been banned from using the internet and contacting each other or the alleged victims. No work done by police while youths in custody. Court hears four members of the group were remanded in custody last week to allow police to gather electronic evidence. But on Thursday, the court heard no work had been done. Paul Edmonds, who represented one of the young people, said his client should not be detained and police had not met their obligation. What the AFP have failed to do borders on contemptuous, he said. The fact of the matter is they were given a week and they have done nothing. Magistrate Margaret Hunter agreed, saying she was in a difficult position. It's not a good place to be. The prosecution strongly opposed bail, saying they needed more time to gather evidence, and there was public interest in having the matter properly investigated. Public interest. I'll wait before I start picking this apart, because I know RU's like boiling and got a list. During the course of the hearing, police said a designated officer was now assigned to the case, but Magistrate Hunter allowed bail for two of the youths, telling them, one of them, the offenses attracted a long sentence. "I'm going to trust you not to access any information," she said. "If you were caught, you will go back to Bimbury for a long time. The case will be back in court at a later date." All right, are you? Go ahead.
You have first crack.
So, these guys were hunting pedophiles, apparently. Has anybody bothered to look into the quote-unquote victims to see if they maybe were targeting actual pedophiles?
It just seems that they're railing these kids for doing a public service. Granted, I mean, blackmailing them, you know, that was just, that's the cyberpunk bit. But, you know, what if they'd gone to the authorities, would they still be in trouble for luring?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, they obviously have chat logs, but they're not talking about that. It sounds like they tried to run their own version of To Catch a Predator and instead thought they'd get money out of these guys. Because I guess they couldn't arrest him. But then the prosecution said there's a public interest in having the matter properly investigated, as in we want to nail these kids to the wall. And it was brought up by an AIDS foundation.
Yep.
What the hell is going on? This story is so incomplete.
These kids fell down a rabbit hole. They've hit someone up for extortion that's quite powerful. I'll bet money on it. They've accidentally hit someone.
Or someone who's a friend of someone.
Well, yeah, when a charity that gets involved for advocating for people with, you know, HIV, suddenly they're now protecting people who may be pedophiles or have at least engaged in online conversations with what they have known is an underage person about sex and meeting up. Yes, these kids are in the wrong. It's some cyberpunk shit as fuck. They should be warned. Don't do it again. This is extortion. But please hand over all information you have on these bastards. And maybe give some money to a charity for the money you stole.
So, I haven't used Grindr. Does it allow for pictures, or is it just another pretty much text hookup app?
I don't know what it is.
I know what it is, but only because I've come across it in decking links before. Grindr is a clone of Tinder, which uses pictures, but it caters to a certain audience.
Pretty much, I want to hook up and have sex audience.
Yeah, but a little bit more specific audience than that.
Right. Okay. I'll bite the Google bullet.
All right, what's your first result there, are you?
That's enough information
oh,
for what
fuck,
I was going
no,
to say.
I ain't going there. I am extremely comfortable with my sexuality, but I do not need this application.
They advertise themselves as the largest gay social network.
Yeah, for public hookups.
So,
there's a bug catches section. Nope.
We don't know what was actually in these texts, or in these messages. So another possible thing that could have actually been happening, especially if you're moving into extortion, there are some people set up accounts on Grindr and start fishing for a date. Whenever you're first texting someone, I have no fucking idea how you are, how old you are. Are you? You could be 16, you could be 55. They get somebody to start interacting with them. They then shoot them texts of genitals. You're now in possession of child pornography. And let's see about blackmailing you, because we do have these nice text logs showing where we were trying to hook up and you have a picture of my penis.
Well, technically, you're the one in breach of the Child Pornography Act there, because you're the one who has sent the picture of the child's genitals.
In this country, possession of child pornography is also a crime. So, the guy who received it, also in trouble.
Yeah. I have no issue with that. I don't think we're arguing that these kids aren't at fault for something.
Well, I was just saying, there's not a necessary proof if they're going after them for blackmail, then these guys might not have been fishing for underage people. They might have just been fishing for some ass. And these underage people are on a app, which I'm fairly certain, since it's for sex, says you have to be 18 years or older to use. So everyone's assuming legality. And then they find out, oh, I'm being baited by a 15-year-old. Is a possible turnout here.
Yep. I'm hearing where you're coming from, man.
And if they're going with blackmail, we don't know if the motive was to catch a predator or catch somebody in something where they're willing to pay them to go away.
Oh, I have no doubt their intention was just truly to blackmail people into giving them money. There's no doubt about that. They are in the wrong, but why are they not using the chat logs against the kids or the men that they were chatting to? Why is it the police just sit there for a week doing fuck all, let these kids rot in jail?
I don't know what's slowing them down on the investigation, but the reason we don't see the chat logs is those are going to be presented in court. They have them. If they're not presented, then there would be issues with that.
No, I understand that, but it's stated in the article there, I think, more upset.
Yeah, they spent a week sitting in jail because they were denied bail because the police wanted to make sure they didn't interfere with data gathering, and the police didn't do anything the entire week they were sitting in jail.
They might not have been perceived as high enough priority. You don't know what the case log on the cops are. If they have 4 open murder investigations, they do triage when it comes to these investigations. And these chat logs, are they in risk of being removed by the people that are currently in possession of them?
We have a designated unit for this stuff, Madman.
You may have a designated unit for kiddie porn, but if the children are being investigated, then they may already have enough evidence to believe it's not kiddie porn, it's blackmail. And this is a financial crime that has a lower priority, especially when it comes to violent crimes.
I just think there's a lot more going on here, and the story does not cover it at all. And so you're kind of left wondering, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's what I'm more... So it feels very underreported, if that's a thing.
Well, and, you know, they did have one of the guys who was complaining that they were after them, saying the group was calling themselves the Pedo Hunters. So I wonder if you had maybe one or two of them, because they said it were four guys.
One was 18. One's an adult.
I wonder if one of them was like, I can get these kids to help me out because they think they're, you know, being heroes or being internet Batman. Ooh. And in reality, I'm just blackmailing them.
And so you think the 18-year-old might have come be the mastermind?
Maybe not. Maybe the 18-year-old's the stupid one and the 16-year-old's the mastermind. I would just kind of assume the older one, but that's, you know...
That's my to me, this sounds like out there. Something we'd come up with on a Sunday night while drinking after games. you know, let's go blackmail some people with, you know, something like that, and then never go through with it. These guys,
well,
did.
We'd get bored or forget or decide.
Yeah.
That's too much work.
Well, we drink too much and we go, what did we do last night? I don't know. What were you doing? Why do we suddenly own lookatmypoo.com? You know,
that's, yeah, yeah. We've gotten more than a few websites that way.
Yeah. So,
and, Madman, why'd you install Grindr?
Research.
And let's face Science. It, the bloke. The whoever's the admin over at Look Who Got Busted is very weirded out on a Sunday night, on a Saturday night.
No, they're not. They don't give a shit. They're just going, damn, look at all that ad revenue.
There are ads on that site? Who the fuck puts ads on a pedo site?
People bail.
Who don't expect you to use Adblock.
Yeah, bail companies and stuff like that, and lawyers. Okay. Yeah, that's who funds pretty much.
I've never actually
Boston.
Looked at it with Adblock off. You know, there's a conversation piece. What do some of these websites really look like? Because I almost never browse without an ad blocker anymore.
Yeah, I haven't done it for a long time. I don't think I want to.
It blew my mind the first time I sent someone an Instructables link and they weren't using an ad blocker, and they were like, why did you send me this website? There's so many pop-ups and so many ads all over it. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'd never been there without an ad blocker.
Yeah. I've yet to see an ad on YouTube.
You know, right. my Amazon player that I used to watch on the TV, you do get the ads on there. And I was actually ready to pay for, what is it, YouTube Red to make the ads go away. But then I found out the ads don't go away. They just get replaced for ads for shit on YouTube Red. So I'm like, that doesn't solve the problem.
Wow, that's an ass of a deal, isn't it?
We're not paying to solve a problem when you don't actually solve the problem. Yeah, I don't
crazy.
See you drowning a man in the lake of a in the little lake of a model.
Little model of a lake.
No, the actual water in a train model. I'm making a robot chicken reference.
Yeah,
Mr. Rogers kills a man, saying solving the problem.
It was in a model lake of the train thing, not a lake of a model.
But the lake was part of a model. I
mean. Okay.
And tune in later on where we'll get a bet on two flies going up a wall.
This week on Grammar Nazis, Sig Heil.
Actually,
there's a sound clip.
There's an article from this week. I forget which piece of shit website it was on, but actually using correct grammar now is racist.
Oh, fucking amazing.
So, speaking of racism...
Is this a segue into the next article? Because that would be wonderful.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, it's not a good one.
Speaking of racism, let's talk about McDonald's.
You know they spit in burgers for black people? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, BBC, that's even better. Okay.
Yeah.
Big
Tinder.
Black cock.
Yeah, I actually was putting this in because the last article was about Grindr, but racism works too. Yeah. So the author first met Son Rad back in 2013 when Tinder was a blossoming dating app, known primarily for casual relationships. He then told the author Tinder was good for humanity, a line he instantly latched onto as being fairly ridiculous, but a wonderful headline. Life-changing things have happened to millions of people thanks to that simple swipe yes, swipe no interface. The author knows people who've married their Tinder matches, and he knows many others in serious relationships. And yes, he knows people who've had casual hookups and one-night stands. That's why the last point is seen as negative or to be joked about. People have been doing that in bars for well over 100 years. Anyways, Tinder is growing up. It's now a serious technology company tackling one of life's most important matters and is by far the most popular dating app worldwide. After a lot of barroom musical chairs, Mr. Rad is the chairman of both Tinder and Swipe Ventures, the arm of the company designed to buy other dating-related technologies, one of which is artificial intelligence, and the collision with dating might be the most intriguing application of AI yet. So I'm going to quit reading the rest of this article because it's kind of hard to keep converting it from this guy's personal point of view. Tinder is buying AI technology because they want the software to start telling you who you should date.
That's fantastic.
My calculator told me who to bone. Come here.
And what was it? The greatest thing to ever happen to mankind? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Helping to spread STDs, marriage infidelities, unwanted pregnancy. We can go on what this app has done.
But they're also talking about implementing augmented reality. So, again, I'm guessing it's going to scrape Facebook for all this data, because I'm pretty sure that's where Tinder gets all of its data in the first place.
Augmented reality. Okay, so that 9 out of 10 hottie that I've been matched with has been digitally altered and is actually a 2 out of 10.
No, they want you to be able to hold the phone up and have it do the Damon view, and not their bank account, but whether or not they're single. Their dating profile, just by looking at them through the phone lens.
The new Galaxy phone doesn't have a fingerprint scanner now. It scans your face, doesn't it?
I don't know about the new one. Mine has both. I never used the face scanner, though, because it doesn't work real well. And I was able to trick it with a photograph.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I know some of the newer phones are talking about putting a 3D sensor in it so that it's you can't just hold up a picture.
People just keep giving more and more away for free.
They don't realize they're doing it.
I'm my greatest commodity. People don't realize that they're their own greatest commodity.
When it comes to that, there are some actual bills being put forth in many countries to give you ownership of your data online.
Well, the thing where this gets weird, especially because I've been doing a lot of reading on some of this stuff here lately, it's not you individually. It's statistics drawn from you and 5,000 other people like you that they use to draw up trends. And when they identify that trend, they then turn back around and use automation to... Well, it's like that girl that Target figured out was pregnant before her parents. And, you know, sent, like, coupons to the house and shit like that.
Wow.
That was several years ago. But that's what they do with this data. Do they have your personal data, and could somebody be a real creep with it? Absolutely. But, that's not what they're doing with it. What they're doing with it is slamming it into Hadoop or Elasticsearch clusters and doing statistical analysis and then turning that back around and trying to, they're trying to entice you to...
Trying to sell you stuff. I've never said that data collection has been particularly malicious for most instances, but just because it's not malicious doesn't necessarily mean that I want it happening.
Yeah, but they also want to damage your impulse control, so you're more likely to spend money without thinking about it too, which is not good.
Yeah, they see that's dangerous. It's very dangerous.
You get into psychological warfare tactics with some of this shit.
This is what I mean, in the wrong hands. I mean, imagine if BSV was to get hold of this data. Well, everybody knows what he's capable of. I don't
understand. Why do I keep getting dildos in the mail?
My Amazon shopping list is very weird this month. I'm with Madman, you know, psychological warfare and stuff like that. So, you know, convincing everybody to vote a certain way or, you know,
Facebook dividing. Was trying. They got called on it, too.
Well, they still are. But there are two camps, really, what it feels right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, three camps. You know, those who have no fucking clue what's going on and just think it's the status quo as usual. Those who are desperately trying to get everybody to use pronouns and vote their way. And those resisting against them.
Well, I left the story out because I thought it was goofy, but... they're starting to spin up dating sites that are for specific political viewpoints.
Yeah.
And, you know, because apparently on like some of the like Match.com, they were actually having real problems with people putting in their profile no Trump supporters or no Hillary supporters. And, have you know, their matching algorithms was having a hell of a time because politics had gotten involved.
Yeah.
That's going to... We're going to end up going extinct.
There's going to be two universes or two...
Berenstain and Berenstain, dude. We've already hit the two universes.
We're past that shit, man.
Yep.
We're down to... And the Golden Gate Bridge here is the largest blue bridge in the world. Oh, fuck.
The reason I say we're going to go extinct, men tend to be conservative or become more conservative over time. Women tend to start out liberal, and when they get married, they become conservative, if they do at all.
Yeah.
As just a generic trend of men and women. So, when you first start dating, you're not going to be agreeing politically on a lot of things, generally.
Well,
I mean, what, coming up 18 years with my wife now, we haven't had a single political ideal that's been the same.
And you're still fine with each other.
Yeah. It doesn't mean there's not some very serious, robust debates. And the word cunt's used quite a lot. I think politics... I don't know.
That's going to be a weird dating app, is just what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough to start a relationship without fucking Facebook or a mobile phone, you know?
I was just wondering, other than just the whole, here's your dating profile, what else Tinder can do with just augmented reality?
Yeah, so just for fun, because it took me a second to try to find the site again. Here is the dating site I was talking about. TrumpSingles.com. Make dating great again.
Wow.
There's one for Hillary supporters too, but I forget what it was called.
Jump off a bridge and die?
There's actual whole website devoted to Hillary Clinton as if she had won the election.
Oh, here it is. The dating site for it's called Liberal Hearts.
Because I was thinking, I could see a dating site for Bernie supporters. Everyone I know that voted for Hillary voted against Trump.
Well, I was meaning more liberal or left.
Okay.
But I was just saying Hillary because Trump. But
the temptation to dox a person you just fucked the night before to see if they're worthwhile going for a fucking relationship with must be just so intense. That must be what happens now, is it?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have the necessity to date it at any point, especially not in a modern computer age.
Single. Maybe I should sign up on some of these sites and see which one I get better action on.
Well, I was saying, like, my dating used to be buying drinks at a bar, getting hammered, waking up, and going, what's your name again?
Susie, was it? I can't remember. Can you do that thing with your tongue, or was that some chick last week, and can we rediscover this?
I'm not trying to be crass or anything like that, but...
Like, what's your name again? Frank. What the fuck?
when I was coming up through, like, dating and shit like that, I lived in share houses, so there could be 20 different people that you'd never even met in the fucking house on a weekend because they're friends of someone. You know what I mean? And the party could go all weekend, and you could hook up with someone, and you've been hanging out with them all weekend, and you don't even know their fucking name. I completely
understand.
Now it's like, oh, I met you on fucking Tinder. It's Sally Slackcunt at fucking AOL. Yeah, I'm just going to look up Sally Slackcunt. Oh, look at that. She had a DUI back then. Oh, she works here. Her mom and dad's name is that. She has a cat, a dog. Oh, look, there's her ex-Chad boyfriend. Yeah, there's photos of him all over her Facebook and shit like that. I couldn't do that. Because you're bringing their emotional baggage from with you already without them bringing it. I don't know.
It's interesting, though.
Anyone has any ideas, write to Morps.
Yeah, let me know. It's fine. We'll just make the Galaxy 15 dating app. Are you sane? Yes or no? We over here we have people looking for the sane. Over here we have people looking for the freaks. Unfortunately, the freaks section is about 5 times larger than the sane. But you know, hey.
We're not going to guarantee the freak section is for long-term relationships. Sometimes you just want some strange.
It's like, and on her profile, it says she enjoys stabbing.
Could be a risk here. It depends on if she's doing it correctly. Because I've heard of dudes getting stabbed a couple hundred times during sex. I'm like, you're doing it wrong.
If Ronaldo had changed positions like I'd asked him to, that wouldn't have had to happen, Madman.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, well, that's okay. We know exactly who would be trolling some of the creepier profiles.
Start.
Anyways, moving on. Next article is from Financial Times or FT.com. Robots have at least one unfair advantage over human workers. They don't sleep. Well, you know, you could program it to sleep. They have to recharge the battery every once in a while. Anyway, robots have at least one unfair advantage over human workers. They do not pay income tax. Bill Gates, co-founder of Microsoft and the world's richest man, thinks that should change. It's an idea that until now has been associated with more European socialists than tech and industry leaders. And, well, Bill Gates has basically been a European socialist for... How long has it been since he left Microsoft? Because that's basically what he's been doing.
Just say globalist and get it done with.
I think he was that way possibly at Microsoft. He just had a board of executives that said, sir, it's called fiduciary responsibility.
And it puts him in the unusual position of explicitly arguing for taxes to slow the adoption of new technology. Mr. Gates made his fortune from the spread of PCs, helped to erase whole categories of workers, from typists to travel agents. But in speaking in an interview with Quartz, he argued that it may be time to deliberately slow the advance of the next technology or the next job-killing technologies.
Is that your Luddite?
He got his money, so now it's time for everybody else to just stop.
Yeah.
It's really bad if people overall. I used to be able to do a Bill Gates voice, but we're not going to try anymore. It's really bad if people overall have more fear about what innovation is going to do than they have enthusiasm, he said. That means that they won't shape it for the positive things it can do. And, you know, taxation is certainly a better way to handle it than just banning some elements of it. The idea of using taxes to support people put out of work by automation has been catching on in the tech world, but Mr. Gates went further, pushing for a direct levy on robots that would match what human workers pay. Right now, a human worker does, say, $50,000 worth of work in a factory. That income is taxed, and you get income tax, Social Security tax, and all those things, he said. If a robot comes in to do the same thing, you'd think we'd tax the robot at a similar level, except the robot's property and not getting paid. Yep. The extra money should be used to retrain people who the robots have replaced, Mr. Gates said, with communities where this has had a particularly big impact being first in line for support. Some politicians have also joined the fray. Benoit Hamon, France's socialist candidate in this year's presidential elections, has called for a tax on robots to fund a minimum income for all. Some tech leaders have hinted that tech companies' customers, rather than the industry itself, should foot a higher tax bill. In a recent interview with Financial Times, Satya Nadella, Microsoft's current chief executive, said whenever somebody cuts costs, that means hopefully a surplus is getting created. You can always tax surplus. But yeah, all these rich douchebags saying, oh yeah, you should raise taxes on everyone else. I mean, yeah, fuck off. Gates echoed the suggestion. I don't think robot companies are going to be outraged that there might be a tax. It's okay. Well, no, it's not the robot companies. It's the companies buying the robots that are going to be pissed about it, because you're, you know, artificially increasing their operating cost, which is going to hurt our economic impact. Come on. You're introducing an artificial cost that does not need to be there and defeating the whole point of automation.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid, and it is a classic case of retardation gone wrong. Bill Gates is like, yep, made my money, everybody else go suck a bag of dicks. Just like climate change people, yep, our economy's stable, built off the back of old technology. No one else can fucking use it now. Suck a dick. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's bullshit. We're afraid of what's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to be mass unemployment. It's going to be chaos. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be nature. But eventually, it'll sort itself out. The Industrial Revolution, this is just the tech revolution.
I don't know that it's going to cause mass unemployment. As a percentage of the people working, it's only been going up as we've industrialized and as we've automated.
Madman, the leap between bipedal robots and rolling warehouse ones now, dude, that's leapt ahead.
Okay.
Fierce.
It still doesn't change the fact that more people are working for a longer amount of time today than ever.
Oh, yeah, we have lighter workload, longer hours.
Well, it's not just the lighter workload and the longer hours. A larger percentage of our population is working now than ever.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about us not working. It hasn't been the trend, even though we've been automating.
I think this article is really looking at in the next 5 years, it's going to really come on. I mean, look at night stacking for you worked at Walmart, stacking shelves and stuff like that and rearranging stuff when you first started, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That won't be a job in 5 years.
And those people will find other jobs.
I'm not disputing they'll find other jobs. I'm not arguing. I'm saying we should go ahead and do this. This is fantastic.
Yeah. I'm just saying Bill Gates' argument of we need to slow down because people are going to be harmed. People haven't been harmed by automation.
No, and I wasn't. Don't think I was making the argument for that. But yeah.
Oh, I wasn't arguing with you. I'm arguing Bill Gates is wrong.
Yeah, I think Bill Gates is wrong too.
It might move to a point where he's not wrong. And at that time, things will probably be so fucking cheap that I might not need to work except for 45 minutes every week and a half.
You're talking about a post-scarcity society.
Yeah. As things have automated, they've also gotten a lot fucking cheaper.
Oh, without a doubt, man. And I still thank the children of Asia and their nimble little fingers for making my clothing. Couldn't get that shirt for $1.50 otherwise.
Well, even if you look at the little children of Asia, have you seen a modern textile factory? And by modern, go to any of the third world, they've modernized their textile factories. Okay. Very few people actually touch the cloth.
It was a reference to the bygone sweatshop era of the 90s.
So, I think we're all in agreement that this is a stupid concept.
Yeah.
But I think what they're doing is they're getting prominent people to say this stupid-ass shit because their old tax system of income tax and going after individual workers for, they listed out all the taxes in the article, Social Security, unemployment, federal income. Well, if your business – Google already operates this way. A lot of tech companies already operate this way where they have a low number of actual human employees and a whole hell of a lot of automation. Just try finding a phone number to talk to somebody at Google about your email problems or your search issues. Seriously. And the company does not employ that many people. They employ a lot of engineers, but they have almost zero – support staff. They have very little in the way of traditional like HR and all the other employees you would normally have in any kind of a firm. And Google practically has no marketing staff.
Yeah, well, they have Google some. Doesn't need to.
They have some, but compared to another company of the same size, they have nothing.
When your actual brand becomes a verb in the lexicon of most of the world, you don't need to fucking advertise at that point.
Well, what's happening is you've got, I guess you would call them elites or people in charge who are looking at that model and going, fuck, the amount of taxes we're going to get off of these huge companies where 90% of the work is done by automation and machines is not right. We're going to lose all kinds of money and income. So we've got to figure out some way to fix that. Well, we can't rejigger the model because these are the same people giving us money and trying to fix the election for us, so we can't do that. let's try to shoehorn it in by saying you have to tax the robots. Well, for one thing, if you have a totally automated system, is that 100 smaller robots? Or is that one big robot? Because I could make the argument that a fully automated factory is one big robot with lots of moving interconnected parts.
Yeah.
Well, so,
but the current system, when it comes to financing of most government things, it's still done at the income tax level, and the company's already paying corporate income tax, and its few employees, they're generally getting paid better than what employees were originally being paid, so well, yeah, they're at a higher tax bracket.
You don't have to split the split the profit up in as many ways. But no, technically it's not profit. I guess it'd just be gross. But you don't have to split up the amount of money coming back into the company as many ways if you only have 5 employees versus 15. So those 5 employees can make much better money. So I'm not arguing that. And plus, those 10 other employees who don't work for you anymore but still have experience in the industry, they might go start their own company. So now you've got more companies doing this shit. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not arguing that you're wrong, Madman. You don't need to defend the idea. I'm saying I think what's happening is you've got elitists, people who think that they're in charge of the world, who are realizing that in a highly automated economy, their model of how to generate income without working, i.e. collect taxes, is not going to work very well for them in the future.
The issue isn't the collecting of income without taxes, because they're still taxing the income and it's still more income to tax. The problem is the things they're trying to fund, you're not, with the examples that they're giving, those weren't examples of we need to get roads built or we need to fund the military or we need to fund the police force or the judiciary. The only taxes that are being hurt are the only the only things that are being funded that are being hurt are the retirement plans of people who were working. And the reason they're being hurt isn't even as much that the taxes are going away. It's that the taxes that were being paid to fund people that are retiring weren't being paid by those people. It was being paid by the next generation of workers. But, and there's now not going to be a next generation of workers.
Okay, but a big part of the perception, because I think these people are going to go on and find other jobs somewhere else or find some other way to make income. How many people make money off YouTube now because they got fired from their jobs?
Quite a few.
Shit like that. So I don't think you're going to see this mass unemployment that you think people are going to see from automation. Like Madman, you were just arguing earlier that, you know, that there's more companies now, more people working now. So I don't think you're going to see this mass unemployment. At least initially, I mean, you might see some initially as automation rolls in, but, you know, a generation or so, that'll be gone as people just adapt to the new economy, and that's kind of how the free market works. I'm saying the people in charge have a perception that that's what's going to happen, so that's why they're trying to do this stupid shit.
The easier way to fix the problem is look at what the problem is, which is Social Security and a lot of our welfare safety net isn't funded by taxation of income, it's funded by taxation of worker, and the taxes that worker's paying is going towards a previous person rather than him whenever he or she retires or needs.
Okay, safety net. Come on. Let's not dig too deep into politics. I'm just simply saying the people making the argument have a perception of what's going to happen that I think is false.
Well, their problem is they're attempting to fix the wrong problem.
Oh, for God's sake. Yes, that's the point I'm trying to make.
I like watching dogs chase their tails.
God's sake. Next article is from Ars Technica. Good God. I've already thrown the link out anyways. Cool. Marathon runners tracker data exposes phony time in a cover-up attempt. Hot tip. If you're going to cheat while running a marathon, don't wear a fitness tracking band. A New York food writer found this out the hard way on Tuesday after she was busted for an elaborate run-faking scheme in which she attempted to use doctored data to back up an illegitimate finish time. In an apologetic Instagram post, it's apologetic Instagram, those are just two words that don't go together, that was eventually deleted, 24-year-old runner Jane Seo admitted to cutting the course at the Fort Lauderdale A1A half marathon. An independent marathon running investigator is apparently that's a thing. Named Derek Murphy posted his elaborate analysis of CO's scheme, and the findings revolved almost entirely around data derived from CO's Garmin 235 fitness tracker. Suspicions over her second place finish in the half marathon began after very limited data about her podium placing run was posted to the Strava fitness tracking service. The data only listed a distance and completion time as opposed to the more granular statistics. If anybody's ever played with Strava for like bike riding or stuff like that, it tracks the whole course. It does all kinds of stuff. This followed the release of CO's official competition times, which showed her running remarkably faster in the half marathon's later stages. Things got weirder when CO eventually posted a complete GPS tracked run on behalf of the half marathon course. Its timestamp looks suspiciously off, Murphy noted in his own report. So he dug up older run data posts with her same account and noticed starkly different heart rate and cadence stats in her newer report. The cadence data of the half marathon is more consistent with what you'd expect on a bike ride, not a run. So from there, Murphy began poking around official photos from the event and found one of CO smiling with a second place award around her neck and clearly visible Garmin 235 screen on her wrist. He paid for the high resolution of the photo, and they showed an eventual distance tally on her wrist hardware screen. 11.65 miles, even factoring in a margin of error that is well short of the half marathon's 13.1 mile total. According to Murphy, CO posted a confession and apology, which he allegedly screen capped on her personal Instagram. The post was later deleted, and the account has been converted to private. If the screen cap post is legitimate, it shows a CO admitting to both cutting the course and biking over the original route after the fact to try to cover her tracks. Ours reached out to CO with questions about the screen cap's legitimacy. She hasn't responded yet. Murphy told Miami News that he had previously disclosed his findings to CO the day before her apology, and at the time, she denied his claims. Her public apology wasn't posted until the report went live. Her competition time has been deleted from the marathon's result page. So, interesting. But,
cheating bitch.
Whoops. If you're gonna cheat,
wait, what a cunt, man! To even finish second and be all proud about it and shit, you're a lying bitch. And you know the fact that she's been caught out in lying and publishing it, and she does work for a print media outlet. Her editor should now pull every fucking story and have a red team run a fact check on it.
Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong.
You can't. You get caught lying as. Well, I suppose that's old way they used to do it.
Yeah, no, in this day and age, it's expected.
Yeah. What do you think, I wonder if you could have used the same mapping technology for the fake Ingress runs on your Fitbit and attempt to beat up your time that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did explore doing that, didn't we? Cheating at Ingress. And then later, everybody was doing it for Pokemon Go, so... I don't remember ever actually doing it, though.
Oh, no.
I think we just talked about it.
Saw that it was possible and discussed how it would be done. And I'm just wondering, can that same thing be used to get around the suspicious Fitbit data?
Well, I think her better argument would have been to simply not upload her data at all. Just, my Garmin broke, or I forgot to start it tracking, or whatever.
But maybe I'm not a fitness person. Do you have to wear a Garmin or some sort of tracker when you do these runs?
It depends on the run.
I was going to say, is it part of the entry?
Like, so I know several years ago when I did the zombie run with Laser Wolf, they put a tracker on your shoe. But it was an RFID tag is what it really was. So they had the sensor set up at the starting line at the finish line, and all they really measured was time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's cool.
And of course, my time was terrible because I got knocked down a hill by a zombie, and that fucking hurt. So, and then I limped out, but didn't break anything. So there's that. But anyways. Yeah, I got strong-armed by a zombie and chucked down a hill. That hurt. The guy being a zombie felt bad about it, too. He still took my flag, but he told me he felt bad about it as he was taking the flag. It's like, you asshole. Like, although it was more, you asshole. I mean, you know. So, anyways. This next article is from Epic Stream and could be fake. It's based on a blog post on Medium, so we don't know how valid it is. But I still thought it might be kind of fun to talk about. Online users can be downright abusive in chat and social media, but what happens when you add another layer of realism, things can become weirder. Such is the case for US-based female virtual reality gamer who felt violated when another gamer virtually groped her. The name they use here is Jordan Bellamy. Apparently that's changed. And she complained she was sexually assaulted by another gamer when she was immersed in a virtual reality game in Redwood City, California. In a blog post on Medium, she expressed how she was accused. I think they meant accosted. Last week, I was groped in virtual reality. Did you know that could happen? I didn't, but now I'm all the wiser. Ms. Bellamere experienced the incident while she was playing a game called QUIVR on her brother-in-law's HTC Vive VR. In QVR, players traverse a virtual world infested with zombies, and they're given a task to shoot them down with bows and arrows. Kind of sounds like 7 Days to Die or Skyrim, one of the two. While playing the multiplayer of QVR, another player named Big Bro 442, we know where Big Brother's been. He bought a Vive and he's been accosting people. Big Bro 442 encountered her in the virtual world. Players can chat with each other using the headset in multiplayer mode, so even if players are using a universal avatar of the disembodied helmet in the game, Big Bro 442 was able to learn about Miss Bellamere's gender because of her voice. What, you've never heard a screaming bee? Suddenly, Big Bro 442's disembodied helmeted face faced me dead on, she said. Disembodied helmet faced me dead on. Okay, I read that wrong. His floating hand approached my body, and he started to virtually rub my chest. Well, I'm guessing he was kind of guessing where your chest would have been. Feeling uncomfortable.
Kind of the area below the neck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you're a floating helmet in this game, so, you know, I'm pretty sure there are VR games that are a little bit more animated would be the word, I think. Or movies, anyways. Feeling uncomfortable. Bodied. Say what?
More full-bodied.
Well, I mean, what was the thing I saw? The weird review for something called Waifu Simulator. Apparently, they like take anime chicks and render them so you can.
I don't know. We'll end that right there.
Yeah, we're just gonna stop right there. So, anyways, feeling uncomfortable, Miss Bellamere immediately told Big Bro 442 to stop, but he didn't stop. She tried to escape him by running, but due to her lack of experience with controlling the game, he was able to chase her down. Miss Bellamere said the experience felt like it was actually happening in the real world. Well, fuck, that's a pretty good VR headset then if you actually felt yourself getting groped. Of course, you're not being physically touched. It's just like you're not actually 100 feet off the ground, but it's still scary as hell, she wrote. Speaking with CNN Money, she said, I've been groped in real life, once in a Starbucks in broad daylight. I know what it's like to happen in person. The shock and disgust I felt in QVR was not too far off from that, she added. She admitted some people might find it ridiculous she felt sexually assaulted while playing a virtual reality game, but she warned people not to judge her without going through what she did.
Judge her. I'm judging her right now. And I'm petting a cat. I can do two things at once. I can judge her and pet a cat.
I'm judging her and I'm visually groping her right now.
This sounds ludicrous to anyone who hasn't stood in that virtual reality legend look down, but if you had, you might start to understand, she wrote. The public virtual chasing and groping happened a full week ago, and I'm still thinking about it. So, yeah, and then the article is like, have you felt anything? And the comments are hilarious because people are like, why didn't you just take off the VR headset?
Yeah.
And then there's people in there, you know, the feminists in there saying, well, why didn't the other player not rape her? It's like, oh, my God.
Wow.
According to these. Over IP raping. It exists now. Your penis can go through an Ethernet port.
Wow. So, technically, me kicking a player out of my game last night for douchebaggery was no platforming him. I kind of like this social justice shit.
You have more power than you thought, are you?
Yeah. That's awesome.
I have the power to be a dick to everyone. I got no platforms for more people.
Does that game let you set a message anymore when you kick them? Does it let you set a reason? You need to just put no platforming in there as the default reason.
Fuck it, I'm not calling it the ban hammer anymore. It's the no platform hammer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, the next time I kick somebody and WoW, that's the reason. We're no platforming the tank from here on out.
So, I've played with some of the VR headsets. I don't know if you guys have. I mean, I have the one for my phone. And I've played with a PlayStation VR and a Vive before. And, you know, when you're running around some of these places, it's pretty easy to get immersed.
Yeah.
It's you know, even in the cell phone one where the graphics aren't as good, the Minecraft game makes me motion sick. Now, I can play some of the space games for a long time without a problem, and Darknet, play that all day. I played that for hours the other day. Well, a couple weeks ago now. But yeah, Minecraft VR, I got motion sick. Yeah. So, you know, and it's just because you're moving around. It doesn't even try to... You know, it's a very realistic, even on the cell phone, movement scheme, even though you're looking at, you know, 8-bit blocks and Minecraft blocks. And of course, if you're in VR, the Minecraft blocks feel like they're the size of a Chrysler shipping crate, but that's neither here nor there. So I could see... And there are... I've tried one of the horror games. They get some good jump scares out of you in the VR headset, at least on the phone. And the Vive and the PlayStation VR just have better graphics and a wider field of view than the cell phone one. So go ahead.
Sorry. I was just adding, you know, I spoke to someone who has either PlayStation 1 or...
Mm-hmm.
Either way, they played that space game where you're marooned in space and you constantly need to be getting oxygen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He played for a couple of hours and then had a full-on freakout.
Yeah, had a panic attack.
Yeah, had to stop playing because they were panicking that they were about to die for real.
Yeah, I mean, it's very immersive. You know, even the ones that aren't that great, if they do the proper ceiling and, you know, have a good game going on, it's very immersive. So I can kind of get why somebody could be upset about something that happens to them in VR. I can get that. Now, the thing is, like I said, I've gotten motion sick playing Minecraft on my the cell phone. Yeah. What's the thing called? Gear VR. I've gotten motion sick playing that. You know what I do? I take the headset off.
Yeah.
So it is... If something's happening in VR that you don't like, you can reach up and take the headset off.
Well, she does know it is not reality. That's why you don't show a 12-year-old an R-rated film, is they're still not really sure what's real and what's not. Yeah. No. I just think you have a maturity problem if you can't handle this sort of shit.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously, whoever chased her down and was virtually groping her, that's stupid as hell. Why would you even bother in a game like that?
Dude, I can see some of the weirdest shit is going to happen when VR becomes normalized.
You imagine Second Life in VR?
Dude, just any game in Second Life. If you get enough dickbags together, douchebaggery is going to happen. You know what I mean, man?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know... Standing on top of people's heads, fucking weird poses, teabagging. Teabagging. That's really... I think VR is going to bring teabagging back. It's going to make teabagging great again, man.
You're going to have people in the VR room.
Bill comes in on Monday. What the fuck, Bill? You're all bent over and shit. He goes, yeah, I was really good at Battlefield the weekend. I threw my back out teabagging the fuck out of these douchebags all weekend.
Think of all these fat people now doing squats.
Yeah. Hey, that's, yeah.
I'm making teabagging great again. I can see it.
So
fitness.
My point is, I don't know how real that article is, but you know, as immersive as some of this VR stuff can be, I can see an upsetting experience in VR sticking with you for a bit. Because like you were saying, the guy you know got upset and had to take a break from the game because he was actually panicking.
And I would say that the guy that actually know him pretty well, he is emotionally stable and an adult. It physically had a reaction to him. where she had a fucking, you know, a mental triggering, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you do. These things are fucking with your senses. You can get disoriented.
That's the idea of virtual reality. It's to suspend your disbelief for long enough to make the game so immersive you feel like it's real.
I mean, how many videos have you seen of the people doing the mountain climb or the where you bounce on a pole where they do the tech demos at the at like E3 and shit like that, where they're like actually falling over because they think they're falling and shit like that.
Yeah, it just fucks your equilibrium right up.
So on one hand, whereas I kind of feel like the article's full of shit because it's like, oh, he chased me and virtually groped me. Well, that's silly.
But, I think it's written for clickbait, but...
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that there is something to be said about possible physical effects that may happen with VR emerging more and more.
Yeah. What do you think, Madman?
I think...
Do you ever play with a VR headset?
I played with a few of them. I don't really get into it simply because it's bad graphics of what I already see.
Yeah.
I can't see 3D virtual. I can't see virtual 3D. I have trouble seeing actual 3D.
Oh, that's right.
The VR headsets, they don't appeal to me. And taking to the fact that I need to wear glasses to see things clearly, I have an acute stigmatism, they're even more annoying. So I haven't really played with it because it's just not something I'm into. As far as her response, if it's... My only problem with these types of articles are they're trying to do rape or assault equivalency. The dude was being a dick. Take the hat off.
I agree.
Because I don't think the graphics are good enough to elicit that kind of response, since there's not even a body to grope or a hand for her to be groped by, according to this.
Oh, no, you can see the hands. Usually what's rendered is a point of view, and then you can see that usually they do a soft, like a transparent render of the controllers, so you can see what the actual controllers are, and then virtually whatever tool you're manipulating. So, like, I've seen some of the tech demos where you're, like, grabbing things, and so, like, you can kind of see, you know, they have, like, an outline for the actual controller, where the buttons are and shit like that. And then they have the object you're manipulating in the game overlaid on it. So, I don't know. I'd love to get a HTC Vive just to play Elite Dangerous with an actual cockpit setup. That would be awesome. But since that's the only game I'm really interested in, I'm not spending $800 on one just to play that and then watch VR movies. That I don't know what else I'd play with it. I'm sure I'd find something, but it's one of those things that's just like, it looks awesome. I don't think it's $800 awesome.
Yeah, they'll come down cheaper.
Oh yeah, a couple of generations from now, they'll be a third the price and much better. So, next version of it, maybe. Next article is from darkreading.com. Fewer than 1/4 of cybersecurity job candidates are qualified. An ISCA report finds that 55% of security jobs take 3 to 6 months to fill, and under 25% of candidates are actually qualified for the jobs they apply for. Sobering news on the cybersecurity hiring front, more than 20% of organizations get fewer than 5 applicants for open security jobs, and more than half of all positions take at least 3 months to fill with a qualified candidate. Of those who do apply, fewer than 25% are actually qualified for the posted job, according to a new ISA report released at last week's RSA conference in San Francisco. Won't surprise anyone in IT management to learn that it's extremely challenging to fill open jobs in information security. No shit. But ISCA's report on the state of security hiring quantifies those challenges even more starkly. The source of the problem doesn't appear to even be money, says Eddie Schwartz. That plays a part. An ISACA director, also EVP of Cyber Services at security vendor Dark Matter. We continue to see a lack of qualified candidates, even though companies are offering extremely competitive salaries, higher than other IT jobs, Schwartz says. The report, generated from an email server to the ISACA members, found around the world also honed in on InfoSec's applicants' most important qualifications, which are apparently less about their training and more about the hands-on practical experience they bring to the table. What we're going to see is continued departure from a bunch of letters after people's names and verifying that they have the skills needed, Schwartz says, reporting to acronyms like CISSP and others. So rather than just writing code and answering rudimentary security questions, InfoSec candidates can expect to be dropped into live-fire scenarios that reflect their level of experience. If you're an apprentice, they'd be more rudimentary, but if you're an expert, you're going to be asked to work in advanced scenarios. Well, you know, I'll talk about it here when I get back to the article. In the last 20 years, many employers have taken the approach of bringing a cybersecurity professional in as a generalist, then encouraging him or her to add certifications and climb the ladder as their experience and knowledge grew. Schwartz says others tried to draw security talent from the organization's pool of software coders. Yeah, right. But I'm sorry, most coders don't give a shit about security. They just care about making it work and moving on to the next project. But employers typically haven't done enough shepherding of security talent, cultivating skills internally and training people to replace their bosses, he adds. Most recently, the industry started in the direction of creating apprentices, journeymen, and masters of InfoSec. Man, that would have been easier. And figure it all out like I did. He points to ISACA's own CSX certification program as an example of the hierarchical progression. But clearly, security talent nurturing equation needs refresh. So on and on and on, they've just got numbers. So pretty much, I don't disagree with what they're saying from what I've seen. You have a lot of people who think they're security professionals because they've read, you know, Hacking Exposed. Or they're interested in it. So now, if you say you're interested in it and willing to learn, that's different. You can come in and, you know, be a junior and learn it. But you have a lot of people go, oh, I'm an information security expert. What have you done? I read a book.
I watched Hackers.
Yeah, that's what it is. I can't tell you the number of people who I've met in auditing roles, who I've met in security roles, who I've met at conferences, who, okay, they might be able to run Metasploit, and they might be able to do the canned exercises, but they don't know shit about how a system actually works. They don't know what's going on under the table. They don't, like, you know, they don't understand what Bonjour or SIFS or any of the basics of how the system actually works are. Because, little hint, people, doing security work is not about the latest vulnerabilities and running the attacks. It's about understanding how these systems connect and how that connection can be abused. And then trying to design them such that you either cover that risk or you know what that risk is and you can accept it.
And stopping ID10T problems before they happen.
If you can.
Through internal training.
What was it? Sad Server sent out a funny tweet the other day saying, stop giving your fucking password away. And I was joking with some of the guys earlier. It's like, you know, if our next in the next round of the annual training, if the only takeaway I could get from people was to stop giving their fucking password away and have everyone in the company accept that and actually do it, I'd be happy. That would be a successful training.
We say the same shit every week, though. See, it's not getting through because we've been having we'll show episode 251 now.
Yep.
Pretty sure we had the same conversation on episode one.
Something like it.
Because people just don't learn.
I've tried requesting a cattle prod to use as an employee motivational and educational device. That request keeps getting denied.
I've had to inform people that we're never going to send you an email asking for your username and password. We're running the system. We know what your username and password are. They're there, so we verify that you are who you say you are.
We don't need them.
Yeah, we're never going to ask you for them. We're going to ask, we're not going to send you an email asking for them.
I'm going to skip the article on terrorists training eagles to destroy drones just because there's not actually that much to talk about. It's interesting because they...
Okay, that's amazing, and falconry could come back.
All right, fine, we're not going to skip it then.
Oh, no, you can skip it. That's my only comment on it.
I'll throw the link out, and I'll leave it in the show notes, but... yeah, apparently they raised these birds with drones to familiarize themselves with them and, like, tape meat to the drones so they would learn to attack them. And now they're using them to go... The idea is to train the falcons to go after drones launched by terrorists. But yeah, it's falconry. But they're using eagles, so.
I'm a slightly less less happy. For a moment, I thought they were going to have birds going after like a predator drone. I'm like, this is going to be fucking amazing. They have machine guns on those things now. Just the number of dead eagles trying to take out a fucking predator drone.
So, okay. Here's the military. Let me just close out the article here. The military is designing mittens of leather and Kevlar and anti-blast material to protect their talents. Make armor for the birds.
Dude, there's somebody in R&D in charge of making fucking falconry armor. Kick ass.
There's somebody there's somebody going, my World of Warcraft years will not have gone to waste now.
He's exactly some dude's like, fuck yeah, that is awesome. What do you do, man? Well, you know, I make custom Kevlar gear for falconry. That is a job
for the military. I make eagle armor for the military.
Yes.
Oh, this is going to... I've just found a way of commercializing this. We're now going to have battle birds. Armor up your fucking falcon and have it fight to the death with other fucking falcons.
Wow.
Alright, this last story is more cyberpunk than anything, but it's fucking hilarious. It's from the BBC. Residents of Hopeman fear somebody could be seriously injured or killed by speeding drivers. It follows concerns about cars reaching speeds up to 60 miles per hour as they travel through the area. There's a long straight leading out of the village. Residents, including children, have now resorted to using hair dryers. Moray councillor Dennis Slattler, who lives in Hopeman, told BBC Scotland, "It's very dangerous. The speed that the traffic is doing through Hopeman is quite serious, especially when kids are going to school in the morning. It's quite alarming. This is why some residents have resorted to taking out hair dryers and putting on high visibility vests to try to slow down the traffic."
Wow.
They're pointing what people might think of as guns.
They're impersonating police.
They're impersonating police, and yeah, the pictures are awesome.
That's a criminal fucking... I don't know if it's a jailable offense.
Villagers dressed in fluorescent jackets are pointing hair dryers at cars to mimic police using speed cameras to deter faster drivers. The pictures are awesome.
Wow.
They got this old dude out there wearing a tie and a shirt, and he's got a blue jacket on, and he puts the fluorescent vest on over that, and he's just holding a hair dryer and pointing it at a car with this look on his face. They show a little kid doing it too. But yeah, please slow down going through our community. Police Scotland said in a statement, "Road safety is a priority for Police Scotland, particularly in the Northeastern Division. We are aware of complaints regarding speeding in Hopeman, which we are continuing to address. This aligns with one of our divisional priorities and supports Operation Cedar, which concentrates on reducing the number of serious fatal road traffic accidents within the Northeast area." And Moray Council said it was battle for the Police Scotland. So in other words, the local council is like, yeah, we're not doing shit about them impersonating the police.
Wow.
And the police don't really want to do anything about it either. Probably because they're seeing these people out there with hair dryers and losing it. Oh, come on, that's funny.
It is a great story. It just
it doesn't fit decking. It doesn't fit decking at all.
It does in a way. It's
craziness that the world is coming to.
And, you know, a hairdryer is technically classed as technology, and they're impersonating police, so we're in, you know, the whole police state thing.
What do you think, Madman?
It's a rough
shoe. Would you stand out there with a hairdryer?
I wouldn't get up that early in the morning, but if I did, or if I had stayed up all night drinking the night before, I could, you know, play community activist and be like, I have a dryer. Fucking yay. Of course, more than likely, I'd be the dude that's speeding down the street.
And they'd want to show them their time and, like, how fast they were going. And, you know, like, okay, you were
on the high setting.
Yeah.
I've actually done that with the automated ones they had around here for a while that gave you your speed. It's like, how fast can I get this light to flash?
A new high score!
That's pretty much why they got rid of the one near our place when I was younger.
I was just testing to make sure my speedometer works, sir. Your sign said I was doing 120. My speedometer said I was doing 120. I calibrated it for you.
Nope. You just admitted. That's called a confession. Just, the picture's great. Just this old dude standing there looking concerned, pointing a hairdryer. Oh, fuck. Of course, now I'm imagining Madman drunk out there with a fluorescent vest, the wrong police hat on, and a caulk gun, so...
Oh, no, if I were going to do it, it'd be the YMCA policeman, dude. We're just fucking trolling people at this point.
Well, we think he might be trying to catch people speeding, or it could be a gay pride parade. We're not really sure.
Oh, man. I just had this thought of Madman dressed up like one of the dudes from Reno 911.
Oh. The ass hugger shorts and the mustache.
Out there trying to stop traffic by twerking.
Wow.
Oh, that's a little messed up. All right, let's do this. Where's the button? There's the button. Yo! Hadouken! So, what I have for Digital Dojo tonight is a nice list off GitHub, a curated list of movies for hacker and cyberpunks. Or movies for hackers is what the header is. So, they've got it broken down to thrillers, drama, science fiction, fantasy, action, documentaries, other cool lists, and contributing. So, let's see what all we got here. War Games, Hackers, Antitrust, Reboot, Takedown, 23, The Net, Net 2. The Net's not that good of a movie, but it's kind of cyberpunk. Oh, he's got ratings on here too, so like 5, 5-10, 7-10. Matrix. Notice none of the sequels are on there. Lawnmower Man, yes, gotta have Lawnmower Man on there. Of course, Ghost in the Shell, Inception, Blade Runner, Sneakers, Firewall, Gamer. Yeah, Gamer's a fun one. Tron Legacy. So. You know, and they've got a list of documentaries as well here.
So. Hey, not a bad list, but where are the foreign films?
The guy putting this together is probably unaware of them.
Yeah. There are some really good tech foreign film.
But it's a GitHub, so he's actually got, you could probably fork it and start adding the thing. He's actually got a thing on here, contributions are welcome.
Yeah.
So, he's got a section on here of how to, send stuff to him. So, maybe some of the less American focused people could help him out.
Yeah, and just any people out there really like zombie films, Last Train to Busan, highly recommend. Foreign film, fantastic.
Just because I carry the joy of killing your family around in my heart doesn't mean we can't be friends.
Is that one of those word of the day calendar things, Madman?
No, quote from Virtuosity. It's on the list.
Ah.
Oh, I thought it was just Thursday for you. So, anyways, that's all I've really got for tonight. Apparently we have 7 new planets to explore. I'm sure there'll be aliens on them, and we can start off either Star Trek or Star Wars, depending. And, yeah, has anybody got anything before I hit the Pac-Man sound?
No, hopefully if we're going to do it, let's do it Star Wars way, where there's a lot of personal spacecraft, and it's not run by some douchebag federation.
Oh. Space magic.
It's going to be Starship Troopers.
There we go.
There you go.
Nazis in
space.
Look
here to learn more.
Would you like to learn more?
Service guarantee citizenship.